Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wildev, and today we are doing front page poetry, open poetry, and Rumi. I love the quote from Rumi, and everybody wrote such fantastic poems that the wound is where the light enters you. So we're going to be doing that front page pick. So welcome to the show. I'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. Sorry, I'm a little nauseated today. We are all poetry, late night poets, and you can find us at allpoetry.com. And you can also go to Amazon where you can find the books that all these poets from around the world have donated their poetry to help support these shows. You can find them on Amazon. They're affordable. They make beautiful gifts. Late night poets anthologies, and there's a whole bunch of them up there. So please go check them out. And since we've got so much poems today, I'm going to go ahead and start picking up our callers and let's get started. And I want to thank my co-host, Katie, Weaver of Dreams, and Poetic Picasso. I hope he's feeling better. And Gray Eye Smith. So here we go.
Hello.
That thing takes so long to come to make you all come up. Hey, Katie.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
Well, you know what? I feel so much better already. So doing the things that I love, spending time with poets and reading poetry and hearing their comments. What more could you ask for?
I agree.
A cup of coffee. Yeah, I've got my coffee with my Irish whiskey, so I'm ready to go. And caller 503, who am I speaking with?
This is Emmy.
Hi, Emmy. Welcome to the show. It's good to hear you. I haven't heard you in a while. Great to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Thank you. And also, caller 778, who are we speaking with?
Hello to you. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Emmy.
Hey, Gray.
Hello, Gray.
Welcome to the show. We've got tons of poetry, and so let's go ahead and get started, sweetheart.
No problem, my dear. There's the first one up. Ah, by heavens, it just so happens. It's by Emmy.
Mm.
Emmy, would you care to read this one for us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't expect that. All right. Okay, I tried to rehearse this, but I didn't do very well, so we'll see how it goes. So this is bridge poetry. God built me to stand tall among earthquake. My legs stretched to the river's bottom. Anchored feet cuddle the seagrasses, where fish weave through my toes. I laid my asphalt carpet so that truck drivers and late-to-appointment families could roll. I fanned out my spine to guard against westerlies that hound me day and night, nagging me to open doors and set them loose on the pedestrian. But I hold, even as the winds oxidize my iron skeleton, blasting me with streaks of green. And what do I get? Skid marks and spit, urea soaked into the cracks lining my sidewalks, my birthmarks desecrated, and oh, how they whine about me, my age, my osteoporosis. Why don't you swim across the Hudson River, come out a drowned rat, and complain about me again through chattering teeth? The audacity. End poem.
Oh. You have a beautiful voice for reading poetry, Emmy. I really enjoyed the emotions that you poured into this. I'm going to ask you a question. What made you write this? What was, you know, what were you?
I wrote it was like an observation I wrote a while ago. I wrote a poem titled, it was like only two lines, I think. And it was like, damn, bridges really don't get a lot of appreciation. That was like the whole point of the poem. And then I read I read Underfoot by this other writer. It's in the author's notes, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack Tomkovic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Underfoot, which was a very similar lens of like lack of appreciation for certain inanimate objects. So I was like, okay, this might be a nice thing to write.
I really enjoyed it because, you know, the thing is that we get so used to modernization that we don't realize we have until something takes it away. You know, like, you know, I really loved how you brought out how the river runs underneath this bridge. And, you know, I smiled when you said, anchored feet cuddle seagrasses where feet weave through my toes. You know, I could just see the fish is going through all the algae and plant life that gets on these concrete buildings and these structures, and, you know, especially, you know, this is how we travel to and from cities across waterways. And, you know, and you do, you tend to not look at the things that we have and appreciate them. And I thought this was brilliant, and you brought it out fantastic, especially with all your imagery. I really enjoyed this, especially the oxidized of my iron skeleton. That was just fantastic imagery. Thank you. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I agree totally. It was fascinating. I kind of also like to write about, you know, inanimate objects and see things through their eyes. So I could really, I appreciated this a lot, and I thought it was very clever. I loved the part about why don't you swim across the Hudson River, come out a drowned rat, about me again. I loved it. Get them. Get in there, girl. So I thought, yes, I thought it was wonderful. Thank you.
No, agreed. And what did you think, Gray?
Yeah, you did a beautiful read on your poem. But your poem is fascinating. I love the personification of a bridge. You know, it really brings a bridge to the forefront of, you know, the reality of its existence in our lives. So, beautiful job.
I agreed. I remember when I was living in this old building, and I used to have to climb up six stories of stairs, and you never realize how much you appreciate something like an elevator until you're forced to walk it, you know? Yeah, so I agree. Thank you, Emmy, and thank you for calling in. And we're back to Katie.
Okie dokie. We have now The Daffodil by Sheila Chapman. And I wonder if you would like to read this for us, Gray.
You betcha. Okay. The Daffodil by Cedar Chapman. She bloomed, tall above the rest, a lush, blonde daffodil, her sweet, godly fragrance, won the gazes of hummingbirds and honeybees. Ivy and ferns loomed in admiration surrounding her, like a plush, protecting spring's chosen child. But beauty is a tonic, drunk by men, with unquenchable thirst, her limbs amputated, her body plucked from the soil, never to experience brushing against the soft sepals of blushing geraniums. Days became weeks, stuck in a vessel with alien foliage of myrtle and eucalyptus. Water and life slowly evaporated away, drop by drop. Her rootless feet sat rotting in tepid, murky water, frayed and beaten, the sheen on her petals, once golden morning star, now dulled to a lusterless layer of dust that could never be blown away. The stagnant air whispered her imprisoned fate. Hopelessness wilted her stem. Her head sunk low, facing her grave, her stigma, wrinkled and shriveled, as one by one, each scentless filament fell on a bed of brown petals and leaves. The captors had finished drinking the elixir, and their bellies were full. All that was left was an inedible skeleton of a crusty, dried cellulose, soon to be tossed away. End of poem.
Gray, you did such a wonderful job in reading Cedar's poem. I found this to be beautiful and also sad. Congratulations on his front page pick and his gold medal. I love how when flowers start to bloom, you know, they you can see them reaching for the sun, and you can see them starting to twirl and open their beautiful petals, and you can smell the fragrance. And I love watching, you know, the hummingbirds and bees go all over my flowers that I have. And, you know, it's true when it's something that it just captures us. And, and rapture us in such beauty of the different types of flowers that are blooming and growing in between. Like Kiri says, days become weeks, stuck in a vessel with alien foliage and myrtle and eucalyptus, water, and life slowly evaporate away drop by drop. It just kind of reminded me of when you cut these beautiful flowers and you put them in these gorgeous arrangements, but having cut them from their roots where they can no longer get nourishment, you know, it always makes me so sad to see them just dry up and fade away. This is just gorgeous. What did you think, Kay?
I agree with you entirely. I mean, we all know things live, they grow, they die. We understand that. But,
true.
But when you cut a flower and stick it, as they say, stick it in tepid water and expect it to bloom for you and shine for you, it's not going to happen. It doesn't have the nourishment it needs, and I'm sure they die quicker than you would. So although flowers are beautiful to have around you, you know, maybe you should paint a flower instead of pick a flower, and that way you wouldn't kill them, I suppose. I know it's a bit morbid. Sorry about that, folks. But that is kind of how I feel about it. So it's beautifully written. I mean, obviously, that's what made me think about this, the way it was written. It actually echoes, you know, what I was thinking. Stagnant air whispers her imprisoned fate. Hopelessness wilted her stem, her head low, sunk low, facing her grave. I mean, that's exactly how I was thinking. So beautifully written, and thank you so much for sharing that with us.
No, thank you. And Amy, what did you think? Oh, she dropped. Okay. And what did you think about the poem you read, Gray?
I thought it was wonderful. I mean, you know, we take the lives of these living things and, you know, capture them to bring them into our house and, you know, have their beauty shared. But we're really stealing their life, and it's a sad thing. So very tragic.
Thank you, Gray. And we have another caller, caller 512. Who are we speaking with?
I thought you would recognize my voice already. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, you got to speak first for me to hear your voice, Gray. Mind reading isn't up to snuff today.
Oh, my phone is
welcome,
now as well. It's always a pleasure to be on. Since my phone is so much slow, I'm not sure if I'm going to read, but I can comment as much as I can.
Repeat what you just said. What's wrong with your phone?
I said my phone is slow at the moment, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to read, but I can comment on the poem.
Okay. That would be fine. What I'll do is if she asks you to read, then you can let us know whether you can or not. I've been having problems with my computer too. It's just moving like molasses.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show, Frank. You sound better. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm recovering here. I mean, I've just a virus and so be it. But get my hunger back, and I'm recovering little by little. But I should be almost there to to par, I would say, soon.
That's good. Well, we've missed you, and I know Gray's been sick too. Are you feeling better too, Gray?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Okay.
That
is good.
Believe it's not
excellent.
Feeling better is good.
And we are back to Katie. Yeah, Katie here.
Hello?
We're on your mute.
Oh, I'm on. Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I'd pressed it. What a twinkle. That's the first thing I've done.
I'm trying to get worried.
You have to go.
So
I fucking
was
worried.
Sorry.
I know you're in
the
darkness there.
Yeah, we are a bit, yes. We're a bit behind.
Turn
oh, my goodness. Oh, I think I will. I'm so sorry. I was saying things like, I hope everybody's feeling better. I was saying that I'm the only healthy one in the group. But you didn't hear that, so fine. Okay, so we have Heaven's Daughter by P.B. Cousin. I think I have started a trend by always reading his work. So I think I'm going to go ahead and do this one and give both the gentlemen a bit of a break. And I haven't seen it yet, so this is going to be fun. Oh, yes, it hasn't let me down. Here goes, people.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you. I'm hanging on with my teeth here. Okay, Heaven's Daughter. Well, it starts off beautifully, so we're all right. Invocations floating on the sea of anatomical anomalies and those yet to be. Sitting on ivory towers, play checkers with God. Keep in check the lowly, poke him with a prod. You didn't ask to be born into this at all. Keeping righteous riches in the royalty, playing like a kid lamb to the slaughter. Does it ever end for you, Heaven's Daughter? Been here up high, no way to come down. How long has it been since you've seen the ground? Toes all up in shit, 1,000 stories high, horn of Gabriel blows, then you die. Responsibility is the key to stay in the ball, and what is happening as you build up the wall. Never meant for them lead those bleated to slaughter. Heavy is the head of the crown of Heaven's Daughter. Somebody must pass judgment. What makes you more qualified than me? And from your ivory Babel tower, you can't see anything. Water rising from below, grab your prod and poke the clod who commenced to blocking up the door. But the tower began crumbling down through the floor. Hands up to God, please. Just a little more. God grant me strength to stomp the maggots down. God give me a whip and also a big old crown. Come to me, God, the tower starts to sway. If you save me here today, I'll pay you second Tuesday of next week. In the end, you see the plans of all these mice of men, dragging you down and all around and raping you then. It's just a supplement of subjugation of your creation. Pulling you away, they drag you down to the water. Sink or swim, which or not, does it really matter, Heaven's Daughter? Ye thick or thin, sick or swim, don't even bother, it don't matter anymore. Heaven's Daughter, Heaven's Daughter, Heaven's Daughter. Righteous, superficial, sublimated sheeple stand song shit. Okay, that you got me at the end, I thought you would, but end quote.
No. Well, could you repeat those last lines?
You evil, evil man. I love it.
You know, this is, you know, he writes such clever poetry. You know, the Tower of Babel was the tower of false religion. And I know it was like over a mile high. They were trying to reach the heavens to get into God's gate, believing that they deserve to be there. And, you know, of course, royalty being the way they are, they just step on everybody as they build up, you know, like, you know, where is it that he says, keeping righteous riches in the royalty, playing like a kid lamb to the slaughter, does it ever end for you, Heaven's Daughter? And it did end because it did fall. Excellent. Clever imagery and poem throughout. I love his humor. It's sarcasm, but it's well placed and well written all the way down to the end. I know you read the poem, Katie, but what did you think of his poem?
Oh, I thought it was as usual for this gentleman. Very clever. Very interesting, entertaining, difficult to read, but he put so much work into the word, way I can't think of the word I want either, the way he puts all those beautiful words together. It really is. It's a triumph. I just unfortunate that, as I say, he got me at the end completely. I loved it. That's why I read his work, because it's never going to be what you expect it to be. It's always there as the unexpected. And I like that a lot. So I have to say thank you, PB, for once more making me look like an idiot.
Oh, no, he didn't. He's got those tongue twisters in there, and that's what is so enjoyable about reading and hearing his Paul Wren. You did such a fabulous job. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, you did a beautiful job reading that, Weaver. And I like the poem. You know, it's metaphoric and it's deep. It's rich. It's textured. It's layered. And a very hard-hitting poem, especially that last stanza.
Thank you, Gray. And Frank.
Yes.
What did you think?
I agree. It's a version of a bubble. And I thought he's very creative. You know, I've been reading some of his poetry, and I've been, you know, listening to the reads of his poetry. And I find that each and every time he comes up with more creative pieces, I would say. And this is no exception here. There's very, very the language here that he uses is not sugar-coated here. It's very much. This could be a type of a rite that could go to a rhythm of a rap there. So I was kind of expecting there for Weaver to rap there, but I'm a little bit disappointed there, Weaver.
That would have been good. No.
There you go. There you go. It was a great poem.
Hello. Oh. Everybody's gone quiet. Lou, you okay, darling?
Lou, you.
Great. So there we go. She must be on mute.
No, she will have heard us by now. Maybe she's dropped. You know, she's not feeling too great. But shall we? We'll just carry on.
Well, it could be the. It could be. You know, not her. You know, willingly.
No. Perhaps not. But she'll let us know when she's back. What a shame. Right. Okay. We'll get on to the next one, shall we? Autumn's Child by Garden Delight. Oh, yes, she's dropped. Thank you. Thank you, Jean. Okay, we'll get on with the next one, as I say. Autumn's Child. And I'll read this one, because you gentlemen will be reading a lot. Autumn's Child.
Well, I can read this if you want.
Oh, yes, please do.
All right. This is a poem by Garden's Delight. It's called Autumn's Child, and it goes like this. She was Autumn's child, born in that season, deceased in the same. Coming to life when air grew crisper, falls riotous colors would bury a sweet smile. Every day our sun slowly paced further away. Frequent walks allow me to hear her voice. She comes to me softly as leaves crunch underfoot. I cover innumerable chilling miles in the fall. Winter, spring, and summer hold no attraction. I must endure them so I may reach September. A mother in this world, I'm still one in the next. Never will my daughter part from his mother's heart. End of poem.
Oh, that was beautifully read, Frank. And I thought Garden Delight did such a gorgeous job. And in her author's note, she says, no, this isn't about me personally. It is about one of my brothers losing a daughter in one season. So very difficult to lose a newborn, a firstborn. After loving her and holding her dying body for months. Oh, my goodness. This is painfully sad. And what a beautiful tribute to this little baby girl. You know, this is deeply sad where it's right here. It says, frequent walks allow me to hear her voice. She comes to me softly as leaves crunch underfoot. I cover innumerable chilly miles in the fall, you know, where when you start walking and you hear children's laughter, or you can literally see the child running and jumping in the leaves, hearing her laughter, even though she hasn't lived, because in some way she did live, and you always carry that pain. This was just beautiful. You know, it makes me tear up. What did you, and Frank, thank you for reading it. It was a beautiful read. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, as you say, this has got to be the deepest cut of all, I think, especially for such a short time. It's heartbreaking, it really is. And you can't help but wonder why, you know, because it just doesn't seem in any way fair. But you can imagine that, you know, spring, summer, nothing matters, winter, and then you get to that month again. Another year passed, and the thoughts are still there, and the hurt's still there. So it was a beautiful tribute to Autumn's Child, written by Garden Delights, and I want to thank her for sharing that with us.
Great, thank you. And Gray, what did you think of Garden Delights' poem?
Yeah, you know, that first stanza really hit me hard. It speaks to the life and death of somebody so young, you know, born. She was an Autumn's Child, born in that season, deceased in the same. I mean, how tragic is that? Such a sad opening. And then a mother in this world, I'm still one in the next. Never will my daughter part from this mother's heart. You know, that's got to be hard on somebody for sure. And my condolences for their loss. And a great read.
Great. And Frank, what is we'd love to hear what you have to say?
Yeah, this is a you know, it's obviously a very powerful and very painful poem. You know, I agree with what everyone has said, in particular what Gray just mentioned here, that first stanza there. You know, it's unfortunate that you know, we have memories that are attached to a certain season, a certain time, a certain place. But you know, if there is the good thing of all of this, of what we can learn from this lesson, is if it could be, although it's painful and time never heals, we always have the memories at least to give us some small measure of comfort. And this poem is very much a reflection of what that last line for me really means. So I thought it was a fantastic poem. It's a very, very powerful poem. You know, it's very emotional. I too was very much touched. But this poem here just brought memories to me of my lost loved ones I've had in recent times, you know.
I agree. You know, all life is something to be cherished. I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we are back to Weaver.
Okay. Now we have Fire Dance by Eric Svensson. Eric Svensson, and that has a SoundCloud, I think.
Yes, it does. Gray Eyes, did you want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Thank you.
Fire Dance. Yoke twin flames dance. Centrifugal pull of polarity. Funnels, expands horseshoe-shaped hearts around the fire dance. Telepathy conducts a thesis. Fluid contraction and expansion of yin and yang. Fire circle scripts a new alphabet. Drum beats and syncopation synchronizes. Twin blue flames alchemize, single white flare shoots skywards. Full moon in Aquarius wears a masquerade mask. Black clouds shift shape. Two bright lunar eyes behold union of twin flames. Raptured into ecstasy, guided by telepathic thought, we expanded beyond ourselves. Twin flames baptized by Aquarian full moon. Separate dream fields unified. Opposite polarities attracted. Twin blue flames harvested by love. Fermented to bring our true character. Clarification process rids birth of toxins. Bottling and aging produces a vintage cultivar. Water to wine. Years later, our love tastes like Spain's Sierra Cantabria the red wine. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. I so enjoy reading his poetry and listening to him read with his accent. He wrote that I want to write different words for you to invent a language for you alone, to fit the size of your body and the size of my love, by Anne Qabani. And I thought that he did that so beautiful in his poem. I really believe in this, that, you know, that we are capable of our kinetic energies searching and finding those that we loved in the past. Telepathy conducts a thesis. Fluid contraction and expansion of yin and yang. Fire circles scripts a new alphabet. And I thought that was so beautiful because you could just see the energy coming together. And then, you know, it's kind of hard to pick which one that you like the most, but I did like this full moon in Aquarius. Wears a masquerade mask, black cloud shift shape, two bright lunar eyes behold the union of twin flames. And I just thought this was one of a beautiful love poem that just, you can just feel the electricity throughout. This was just gorgeous. Thank you, Eric, and thank you so much for the recording. What did you think, Katie?
I enjoyed the recording itself. It was very well done. But again, as usual, I go to that last stanza. That was a cracker. Twin blue flames harvested by love, fermented to bring out true character. Clarification process rids both of toxins. Bottling and aging produces a vintage cultivar. Now, hang on here. You'd probably be able to help me, won't you? What is cultivar? Could anybody tell me, please? What is it?
It's a cultivate.
Cultivar, it says here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it a wine, or is it something else?
Vintage. Well,
vintage.
Yes. No, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I've never heard the word before, and I like to learn. So, yes, but other than that, beautifully written. I just thought that two bright lunar eyes behold union of twin flames. That's a beautiful line. So, yes, I enjoyed it very much. Fire ants.
Yeah. It says that it's a plant variety that has been produced in cultivation by selective breeding. You know, that is beautiful because you do select who you breed with in so many different ways, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually. Yeah. Yeah. So he was right. Thank you, Frank. And what did you?
No, go ahead. Are you asking me?
Go ahead and comment. Uh-huh.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you.
You're not.
I thought it was a fantastic poem. He really brings in, you know, the abstract notion of twin flames here to the core of really the imagery. It's very vivid and it's very visceral when you think about what he's writing here and using his metaphors. You know, the full moon in Aquarius, the rapture and ecstasy, the opposite of tragedy. So when he got onto that the last stanza there, and he talked about I've said before, going to be pretty much of what wine, fermented wine is, in that last line, the mention there of Pierre red wine is a very beautiful. I'd hope that some of you. And from Cantabria, it's a beautiful, beautiful province. The poem, he did a great job here with the poem, and the imagery was just fantastic. I thought,
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Gray?
You're welcome.
I liked it. You know, I liked the vision of the two twin flames coming together and, you know, uniting as one and producing this water to wine years later. Our love tastes like Spain's Sierra Cantabria wine, red wine. So just a beautiful poem and an excellent read as well.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. Thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie. Ooh. Katie? Are you on mute?
Oh, my goodness, I've done it again. I do apologize. I've had no sleep. It's terrible. I do apologize. It's like I've been awake for like 30 hours. No, it's okay.
Oh,
it's just I don't know.
I hope I wake you up with this poem here.
I think you probably will. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm so sorry.
Well,
I'll try to make sure I don't do it again. So anyway, this
is
my
I wake you up
dominator.
Tonight with this poem here.
Yes, I'm sure you'll keep me awake for the rest of the night. Thank you so much. If you would like to go ahead and read it, there it's there for you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I
think he has a SoundCloud.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
He does. I'll play it now.
Oh, dear.
So sexy is the woman taming my burning obsession from the sultry pages of the chapters of a steaming erotica. With a penetrating ebony eyes, red tulip lips, round buttocks, and delicious smooth olive skin, exuding mastefully her sex appeal, wearing the irresistible lingerie of a nympho, of the insatiable thirst of envious men of pleasure. Senorita is a daring and voluptuous woman, who knows how to satisfy a man for few so lasciviously, my every wild fantasy totally conceived. So I submit to the mistress of seduction, exploring my fetish desires, dressed in black leather straps, teasing in kinky boots, high stiletto heels, fishnet stockings with her garter belt loose, around my carnal distension. I can feel the soft fingers of her latex gloves stroking my round body flesh to flesh, and her curvaceous bosom rubbing against my face as she removes the loosened strings of her tight leather corset so tempting, and the exotic garments left of an enticing dress of a feminine provocation. She scratches me with her sharp-pointed fingernails, stimulating an orgasmic response, and I feel the hot lashes of a cracking whip upon my marked back repeatedly, as a long black hair reaches my cheeks uninvitedly, till I eventually succumb to a sexual game of domination. She breathes slowly down my neck, whispering erotic words of sensuality, when I moan her fucking name out loud in Lucifer's dungeon of erotic orgies, where I am chained like a willing slave in an inescapable trance within a nightly episode of such wicked delight. How I love to play this entertaining game of two lovers of erotica, to skip me more of that unbridled lust now. Please, my naughty girl, my sexy dominatrix, supersion, si, is mi calor. Ole, ole, in the bone.
I don't think I heard a pin drop in the room, Frank. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this was like, oh, so hot. Oh, my God, the imagery throughout just leaves one breathless, just pulling you along with this sexcapade. She breathes slowly down my neck. Oh, and that feel that sensation when somebody does it to you. just sends shivers and goosebumps everywhere, whispering erotic words of sensuality. And then, oh, this is so hot when you hear a man moan. When I moan her fucking name out loud in Lucifer's dungeon of erotic orgies. Ay, Dios. Ay, que caliente. Oh, this is hot. It's enough to give anybody a fever. Oh, my goodness. Katie.
Oh, hello.
You're mighty quiet over there, girl. Say
that. Oh,
what is it?
May I just echo? Olay. Olay. So sexy. I loved it. It was wonderful. Oh, yes, I'm awake. There is absolutely no doubt about that. Totally.
Well, there you go, Weaver.
Thank
you can use it as your alarm clock there. As your alarm clock there.
Oh, can you imagine waking up to Frank saying, olay, olay. Oh, yes, that'll do for me.
Mm.
I loved it. Mm. It was lashes of her cracking whip upon my marked back repeatedly as her long black hair reaches my cheeks. I thought that was, I think I may like this one the very best. I liked all of yours, but I think I might like this one the very best because I do love a dominatrix. So thank you so much for reading that so beautifully.
Oh, you're welcome.
I agree.
I have this, if I can say one quick thing. I have this, I had this particular recording for like 3 months now. So I was trying to figure out when I could put up the piece. So I, you know, I said, okay, well, you know, I'll just add it in. I know that you were doing, you know, the show was backing up a bit, but I had done this recording like 3 months ago.
Mm, wow. It would sound just as good 3 months later, Francisco. And I have to say, ay, que rica.
So there you go. Ay, que rico. Que rico.
Where's Sam? Where is the muy caliente? Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And
afterwards.
Oh, yeah. And Gray, what did you think? I would like to know.
Well, I'm sure Mrs. Bobby, Captain B2, would have to be seatbelted into her chair for that one, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But no, that was a fabulous read and an excellent write, Frank. You know, very erotic and engaging, for sure.
But you know one thing, Gray? You know, we'd have fun there in Lucifer's Dungeon, you know? If we were under that dominatrix, we'd all have fun, though.
Yes.
So true, so true. And thank you, Frank. God, that was even a fantastic read. Whew! See if I can catch my breath. We're back to you, Katie.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Desert Pulse by Paul Thomas. And Gray, I wonder if you would read this, please.
Sure, you bet. Desert Pulse by Paul Thomas 1. In a picture, it says, quote, if she's amazing, she won't be easy. If she's easy, she won't be amazing. If she's worth it, you won't give up. If you give up, you're not worthy. That's a quote by Bob Marley. Art's no love words, if allowed to share. Mind too long suppressed the purity of heart's love. For love's words to change attitude and feelings, need to proceed. Too long excuses disempower and emboldened heart's emotional freedom. Invited to share your heart to mine, those hidden tears fallen unseen. Love remastering needs to revisit its child each day a year, raising back to adult. And your affection, love in the present, loyal to me, devoted to you. Sorry.
Oh my goodness!
Thankful.
Drink some water, Gray. You did a fantastic job in reading this poem by Paul Thomas, and you know I agree with so many of the emotional sentiments that he has here, and you know this where he says that. invited to share your heart to mine. Those hidden tears have not fallen unseen. Love remastering needs to revisit its child. Each day, a year, racing back to adult and your affection. You know, that love that you've had somebody for such a long time. When you love them, you're not going to give up. You're going to keep chasing them. And also, if they're easy, you know, that's the whole point. Everything comes so easy now where everything's, you know, unfortunately, wham, bam, thank you, mine. But, you know, some of us want something more richer, more deeper. I want to feel that person that I love, that their heart is next to mine. I want them to, as I would reveal to myself and reveal to them, they would have to know me very well to see the things that hurt me and the tears that, you know, that are unseen, but yet you're able to sense it because you know who I am. And, you know, to love somebody for a long time is important, especially loyalty. Loyalty is important to me, and devotion is important to me because, one, I can give you the world, but two, I don't like to share.
Oh,
and
wow.
Well, I said before, and
that,
I'll say it again.
Is that a warning?
Once I lick
it. Is that a warning?
Once I lick it, it's mine. That is my sabor, my dulce, my deliciousness, my candy. So that's it. And what did you, you know, I can, you know, we can go do family things and go to parties and, you know, share you that way. But everything underneath your clothes and your lips are mine. And what did you think, Katie?
I agree totally. As far as I'm concerned, what you're saying is exactly how I feel. I value love and I value loyalty. And if the person I love needs me to back them up, I would do that. And I would do that without question. And if I found out that what I was told wasn't true afterwards, then I'd give them a good hard kick. But at the time, I would back them. And I like that. Loyalty is something that we need because it's easy, isn't it, to say the words. The words come out so easily.
Yes.
But to actually mean them and to stay with somebody and to share things with them and know when they're quiet, there's something wrong. And if they're talking too much, there's something wrong. So I do that. I think that's lovely. And I thought that was all within this particular poem. For love's words to change, attitude and feelings need proceed. Too long excuses disempower. I think it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. And I do want to say thank you very much for sharing that with us, Paul. It was lovely.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Gray?
Yeah, I like the poem. You know, it had fantastic imagery, and you can feel the power of his message. You know, when the mind overpowers the body, the heart loses its function unless we fight with an unspoken word. So beautifully said.
Thank you, Greg. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, this is a very powerful poem. You know, he has capitalized the word love several times. And it's really a poem that emphasizes the meaning of love, you know. And I do agree that devotion, you know, and not only love and devotion, and also, you know, having an understanding of each other. That's very, very important when you can understand each other in a relationship.
Exactly.
I think it's very vital. And I think this poem reflects the necessity of what a relationship should be under, I would say, the tenets of other relationships. So I thought it was a fantastic poem.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Naomi to the show. Welcome, welcome, Naomi.
Hello, everybody.
How
Hello,
are you
Naomi.
How
are you
Hi,
doing?
Frank.
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah. Hi, Frank. Hi, Kate. Hi, Gray.
Hello there.
Hi, Luyu.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, honey. Welcome, welcome. Were you able to listen to Gray read Paul's poem?
I just read it back over it fast, and yeah, mm-hmm. What a great write, you know, on the subject. I really liked the, you know, the thoughtfulness he put into the whole poem, especially the lines, you know, love remastering needs to revisit its child each year, each day a year, racing back to an adult and your affection. There's just something in those lines, you know, especially love remastering needs to revisit its child, you know, its source in some sense, you know, the whole reason why it evolved in the first place. And yeah, I thought that was very thoughtful, thoughtfully wrote out the whole piece, and bravo to Paul Thomas here.
Great. You know, I was thinking about, listen, after everybody's comment, how you have to let somebody be themselves. I mean, you know, you can be as a couple, but your differences are something that, you know, needs to always be considered, because you're two completely different people. And, you know, to nurture that child that's inside, you know, I think what happens is that when problems arise, because they always will, arise. And I think when you remaster or go back, you need to replay, like you brought out, Naomi, what it was that made you fall in love with that person. And I think as years go by, people forget to nourish that. And, you know, just like a tree and a plant, it needs fertilizer, it needs nourishment, it needs pruning, you know, and when a freeze comes, and just like with anything, you have to nurture it, take care of it, and nurture it back to health all the time, I believe. Not to forget why you fell in love.
I was going to say one quick thing. Yeah. There's also the necessity not only just to understand each other, but to also have space. You know, we have to have, you know, give each other space as well, you know, for that relationship to evolve as well. The times when you're with somebody and you're with them for too long, you know, there has to be something there to grasp on as well, you know, for that person to have, you know, their own space as well. But doing things
That's
together
true.
Is always the objective. But you always have to give that person some breathing space as well. You know, if not, the relationship is going to drown. You know, sooner or later, when you're too much together with a person, that's when the arguments and all these things happen. So there's so much. It's very difficult. You know, relationships are not as easy as what one paints, and they don't sustain themselves by love alone. There is much to comprehend about that person.
No. Well, I think that also has to do with respect. You're not always going to both like the same things. But,
of
you know, I think in some ways you can learn to take some interest in some of the things, and then there's some things
That's
you're not
cool.
going to really,
yeah.
Be interested in. You know, maybe they like to go bowling, for example, and have a couple of beers with the guys, and maybe you're not interested in that. But, you know, knowing that they're waiting for you at home and waiting, you know, because they, you know, I do believe that, you know, when you're in a relationship and you're not with that person, you know, it makes you think of them.
Well, by all means.
Agreed.
So we all
agreed,
have one
agreed.
Thing. We all have one thing in common, chocolate.
Oh, yeah. All the time. My mom just brought
there
me a big bag of white chocolate, and I can't wait to eat it.
I'll send you a croissant afterwards.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, a lot. I love chocolate croissants. Oh, my gosh. With a cup of coffee, yum, yum, yum. Or hot chocolate.
Go.
That's even richer.
Yeah.
And we're back to you. Yeah. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okay. We have Daily by M. Sai Ulu the Dawn. That's a fabulous handle. And Naomi, shall we get you to work? I know you're just here, but you'll love reading this. So would you care to read this, please? Thank you.
Done. Yes. Daily. Smoke spokesman said I was in love with the scent of the height of above. In any weary I felt to steep, to love you beyond all the need of deed. In a height it was seen in fall, the summer gave me an entrance into the call. Whilst the heist may seed the hope I stalled, because it felt like I was back in the hall of Alice in Wonderland. I fell from the tall, oh height, in the premise of the love of your call. I could bring you into the scent of the sea in every intensity. There is the hope of loving me. If you come to me in any scent, I will love you with the hope of no pretend. Not, so seize not from the take pretend. In form I see you, love in the height of hand. It shows me calm, the kindness dear, to wish I recline not the love superior. I ever you could give me call, I will answer it with the utmost of halt, to bring about the scene may come, that you are the love in which my life begun. If feelings are what you're asking for, it is but in the step apart from the door. If you can turn a blind man's eye, then will I live and see you in the height from which I die daily. End poem.
You did such a gorgeous read of this poem. I love the rhythm. It was like watching somebody sit somewhere at a desk and they're penning this note, and I could almost see him sticking it in a bottle and throwing it out to sea. You know, when you're trying to tell somebody how much you love them, and, you know, sometimes you feel uncomfortable telling that person that because there's a shyness there or a feel of rejection that the call that you're putting out, it won't be answered. And, you know, I love the sentiments here where he says, I could bring you into the scent of the sea. In every entity, there is hope of loving me. If you come to me in any scent, I will love you with the hope of no pretend. So cease not form, but take pretend. In form, I see you love in the height of hand. It shows me calm of kindness, dear. You know, that is something that we don't see so much or read anymore. That I'm not asking for a lot. I'm just asking for the most simplest things. If you could please gift that to me and gift me kindness, you know, and for that, you could live the rest of your life and die. This was a beautiful letter of love and want and hoping that you will come to that door. What did you think, Katie?
I thought it was really, really beautiful. Spokesman said I was in love with the scent of the height of above. I thought that was just a lovely start to it. I was getting Alice in Wonderland, which I thought was lovely. Because it felt like I was back in the hall. Oh, yes. All the heist miss I stole. Yes, of course it was. Off Alice in Wonderland, I fell from the toll. So that was when she was really big and then she ate something else and became tiny. I could get through the door to find out what was going. So that's where the premise was coming from. I wondered about it. Yes, I think this is really, it's deep, but it speaks of a love that will take everything, will deal with everything. Well, you know, it comes, I will deal with it. And I thought it was just beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sai.
Yes, agreed. Beautiful comment. And what did you think, Gray?
Oh, sorry. I liked it. His daily mantra is loving and endearing, for sure. You know, when you fall from these heights for somebody, that's a powerful thing. So just a beautiful poem. Excellent read as well, Naomi. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Frank?
Well, first of all, that was a fantastic read there, Naomi. This poem here was a beautiful poem. It sounded like a confession of poem to me, a letter as well. Everything that's written is in this poem here is just raw emotion, and it's the best type of emotion can send. You know, sometimes we wonder when we write love poetry, you know, what words to add, and sometimes they come so natural to us. And this is how I felt when I read this poem, that it came so natural and it flowed so natural, the words to this poet. Did a fantastic job, and it's an envious type of love. You know, I wish I myself could endure this type of love again.
And thank you, Frank. Beautiful comment. And how about you, Naomi? You did such a gorgeous job in reading my size poem. What did
you
think?
It was so raw and real, you know, to love you beyond all need of deed. In height it was seen, in fall the summer gave me an entrance into the call. You know, it's like you said, Luyu, it has such a beautiful flow throughout. And of course I loved, you know, the lines that you cited there, and you know, the brink, I could brink you into the scent of the sea. In every entity there is the hope of loving me. And also, like Kate said, the reference to Alice in Wonderland was wonderful in there as an amazing metaphor. And just brilliantly thought out and written all the way through. This is just stunning, amazing.
I agree. Oh my goodness, such beautiful poetry and beautiful comments and sentiments. I love hearing all your comments. Okay, we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Absolutely, no problem at all. Traveling Country Roads by Pam Ray. Now, Luyu, would you like to read this or just throw up?
Oh, my God, I love that car. Wouldn't you just like to hop in that and ride around the English countryside?
Yes.
Traveling
Never
Country
come by.
Roads, I know, by our own Pam Ray. Charlotte May was tired of the glitz and glamour, tired of expectations and being under daddy's thumb. She cruised on familiar territory, down dirt roads, Delia red lips belting out "Fat Wallers Ain't Misbehavin'." But the truth was, she was kicking up dust and crossing the bridges in hopes that she'd find some way to misbehave. Now here she was, where sunshine and cotton clouds hung in a summer blue sky, burning through a third tank of gas, in a Midwest land of farms and forests. She was so damn tired of men that followed the rules and gave her attention, all for the love of family Bill. She was steering this iron toward destiny, looking for a cat that was down to earth and down for anything. She didn't want any baloney, just the bee's knees and applesauce washed down with the mule kick of bathtub gin. Some hot and heavy lovin' that would make her knees buckle and her bracelets jingle. He was walking on the side of the road, casual as duck soup, thin and sweat, dripping from a farmer's tanned meat. A couple of years back, she had heard one flapper say to another, country fellas like to oil their reds on a bed made of hay, but the way they offer up that hinky makes every prick worth it. Charlotte pulled up next to him, flashing the grin and the gams of a dame who was ready to court trouble, offering a sip from a flask of pickle juice and a ray skirt in the barn. End poem. And it wasn't red, that was Rod, but I like stiff rods too.
Was that hinky or hicky?
Nothing like good pumping pistons. I've got to say, Pam is fabulous at storytelling. I love her details of her bringing us back into this time of, you know, just rambling through dirt roads, you know, tired of being underneath, you know, daddy's thumb and having men that are they attracted to me or daddy's, you know, mitt that he has in the bank. And I like how she's driving through this on back roads of farms and forests when she was looking for a countryman in her meals. Oh, this was fabulous. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I think fabulous is the word. Wow. Oh, I love that. A couple of years back, she had had one flapper say to another, "Country fellows like to oil their rods on a bed made of hay. But the way they offer up the hinky makes every prick worth it." I think so. Probably. Oh, I thought that was very funny. But yes, it was beautifully written. She uses the words that are correct for that particular era as well, which I loved. You know, there's a lot of thought goes into it, but it looks effortless and it reads beautifully. But Charlotte May was tired of the glitz and glamour, tired of expectations and being under daddy's thumb. You can see why. Beautiful car, and off she goes. I don't blame her. Fabulous. And I would be traveling around the Scottish roads. You can keep your English roads. I'll be around the Scottish one. Oh, yeah. Yes, I thought it was... Well, you don't see a man in a kilt.
Don't forget to...
In England.
No, that's true. Really?
Really?
They run around out there? Do they wear them a lot out there?
In Scotland,
not the UK.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
not
the
England.
Yeah. All those hairy men legs.
Don't
forget to pick me up, Katie. Don't forget to pick me up, Katie.
You like hairy legs, then?
You just like hairy men.
Oh, I see. Oh, God.
I think we're getting worse. Who's leading these conversations? Terrible, man.
I know.
We should
That's
be
okay. No.
Anyway,
that's what makes
fabulous.
It fun, and that's what I love about poetry. All these different images that just float through my mind. And what did you think, Gray? You got
really did a beautiful job of reading Pam's poem, but you know the poem's deeply engaging. You know, throughout it has excellent storytelling, and you could feel the era that it was written for in the right. So just a beautiful job.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, first of all, you're going to have a lot of men there waxing their chest tonight. This poem,
oh, man.
Really good, dear. I had to look up what a hinky was. I thought it was hicky. I didn't know what hinky was. There's some other words there I wasn't very much familiarized with. But I think in the context of what she was writing to and looking at that vehicle there, it's like in the 1920s, a Bonnie and Clyde. So it does have that feeling there. You know, so the poem was very creative. She came up with the lingo in here, and she made the poem even more enriched with her metaphors there and her language there. I think she did a fantastic job. It's just sad that she wanted to read this poem. I would have loved to hear it. I would love to her to read this poem.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah. With her voice, yeah. A hinky is
well,
like
you did a great job there. He did a great job.
Yeah, he did. A hinky man is somebody like, you know, somebody that's unreliable or suspect, you know, that dark, dangerous right. man in the corner. Uh-huh. And
oh, so
what did you think?
Are you insinuating something there? Because I'm in the corner always. Watch
Yeah, I tend to be a wallflower. I like to have my back against the wall watching everything that's going on in front of me.
Hey,
maybe
man.
It's just the wolf in me. Yeah.
My
yeah.
eyes are readjusting.
Yeah.
Between back
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And Naomi, what did you think of Pam's awesome poem?
Oh, yeah, it is awesome indeed. You know, you can tell Pam, she puts effort and work into her rites. You know, she even put in that old Southern drawl, you know, type
drawl,
of talking into the poem, you know. It's so clever. And, you know, this took me back to, you know, the character Charlotte May took me back to, in a way, to Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, you know, the free spirit
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the character. Yeah, just amazing. Yeah, she took us on, an awesome ride here. Wonderful storyline throughout and wonderfully well written. So bravo, Pam.
I agree. Oh, my goodness. Would you believe it's already 9:20? I don't know where the time's going, but I am enjoying myself, and we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, we have Lost Treasures by our very own, very sultry,
yay.
Naomi. We have a SoundCloud. Do we have a SoundCloud?
Oh, no, well, I can read it.
Well, if you'd like to, we do have a SoundCloud.
Yeah, I'll
whatever you
read
like.
It.
Okie doke.
Yeah, I'll read it. So this is another story. Lost Treasures. He sat hunched over, skinny legs dangling from the rusted old swing, watching people dressed in black come and go, all day long. Long faces, silent and stricken, walking by. Once in a while, he'd get a kind of smile. Hear him mumbled, "Oh, that poor child." Across the street, the curtain swayed in a cracked window of the witch's home, the twisted, dark monster house imprisoned in thorny claws of climbing vines and overgrown weeds that had gobbled up all the baseballs and other toys that his mother gave him. They had never came back, like his mummy never would. She was gone forever, floated up to a place called heaven, he had heard them whisper. Guess he had just been too naughty. She had just got too tired, they said. Maybe if he just sat real quiet for a while, she'd be back in time to sing their secret song before she tucked him in tonight. So without a peep, he swung higher and higher, his eyes searching the sky for that flowered dress, the one she always wore when visitors came by. A crumpled over old lady dragging a cane wobbled towards him with her wiry gray hair sitting on her head in a weird-looking bun. He thought she must have been at least 1,000 years old. Without a word, she started emptying the pockets of her oversized, flumpy jacket. His lost treasures fell to the ground, and baseballs rolled to his feet. And in that moment, she handed out a little piece of magic, giving back a smile to a little boy. And Pope.
You know, I've got to say, this is so deeply sad. You know, this child believing that for some reason, you know, and children do believe that, you know, especially when they don't understand because it's too hard for them to understand, you know, how much he misses his mother, you know, and the memories, the child, which I thought you caught so beautifully, the image, you know, the things of a child and how he thinks. You did that so brilliantly. And, you know, in the end, you know, especially I love the ending. This just fantastic storytelling, you know, where his heart, you know, because children still believe and make believe. They still believe in magic. And even we as adults, we have our dreams and we always hope, you know, something that will ease the loneliness that we have. And she did when she emptied her pockets and you lifted my spirit up at that point, Naomi, because I was just, you know, just listening to you read and I could hear the emotions in your voice and it made the imagery sink in even deeper. And I really loved that as a, that ending stanza where that glimmer of hope, when you give a child, sometimes that is the only kindness they will ever experience. And they carry that with them through life and they share it with other people when they get older because they've never forgotten that person that shown them that little kindness and love and sympathy. Oh, this is just, this is beautiful, Naomi. It touched me deeply.
How about you, Katie?
Oh, I agree. It's so, so emotive. There's so much in it that makes you think about how it must be. You did it so well from a child's point of view, Naomi. It was wonderfully written that way. I thought it was great because this is how a child thinks. You know, mummy would come back if he was quiet and if he was good and if he didn't give her any problems, she'd come back from heaven and read him a bedtime story again, which is the way a child would think. You know, and you would think that the witch's home was there and she was taking his toys and keeping them, which would appear she has been when she came back with them. But that I thought was lovely, the fact that the old lady came over and gave him back all his toys and things, I thought was lovely. Very nice, very beautifully written, and thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Kate.
Agreed. Thank you, Kate. And what did you think, Chris?
Well, you did a beautiful job reading that, Naomi. And, you know, I like the storyline. It's tragic, but it's engaging. You know, it carries you through right until the very end where she returns with his lost treasures and brings a smile between them. So just a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Greg.
Great. Thank you, Greg. And what did you think, Frank?
I thought it was a beautiful read. I thought the poem was beautiful, of what it was written and what it inspired. And I think all of us can go to these types of, you know, can relate to this type of poem. We were all children. Perhaps we haven't lost a mother or father, but at one time we do feel abandonment in our childhood. And it's always good that we always have someone, you know, and certainly all of us when we're young, you know, we remember the child that you know, the adult who inspired us, you know, or even was kind enough for a day. And I think that if we could all do that now as adults with children, inspire them at least for a day, be kind to them, or so be it, it makes a mark on them because as they grow up, they don't forget these. They don't forget these, the kindness of a kind stranger, a kindness of a family member. So this poem really was just very much, it just invoked so much in me. Very emotional piece, and I thought you did a fantastic job.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome. Thank you, Frank.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
No, this was written for a prompt from Pam, and it was The Secret Garden, and Yeah, and she had various prompts that really inspired me. And, you know, I'm a storyteller above all. So, I really enjoyed creating this character. And, yeah, it was fun. And
enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, very much.
I just was, you know, because we know children suffer so much, and I'm glad that you spun it at the end, you know, so I wouldn't, even though I know it's a story you've written, but we do know that children suffer like this, and I really enjoyed the spinning at the end that lifted my spirit because I was so sad. Oh, my goodness. You know, because we know that we hear so many children, you know, think that when they blame themselves for the death of family members.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, I think it's cruel that some people would actually blame a child for that, you know. So people can be cruel, and people can also be very loving. So be loving.
Indeed.
Tis the season. Tis the season.
If I could say one quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually give to orphanages. The reason why I was down where I was at, and unfortunately I got the virus there. I go to an orphanage there, and I offer you know toys, or I offer things, clothing, to orphans there. And I always think that we can always be, you know, philanthropists. We can always give, even if it's, you know, so little. To a lot of children nowadays, it means a lot to them.
Yeah, because see, the thing with that is that even though we may be living in middle class, we are rich compared to so many countries.
Yeah,
and you know
exactly.
What? They appreciate it, because I know that when I do that, they appreciate it. You know, I've seen a lot of times where mothers are outside nursing children, and they have a little kid that doesn't, you know, how do you, just sitting out there, and, you know, I will go into the store and I'll pick them up some Hot Wheels and stuff to keep them occupied, some little snacks, some water for the mother. You know, it does not hurt to give, because what we're giving is so much more than what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, if you can, and that's a wonderful thing to do, Frank. Thank you. And we are ready for our next song.
And here we have "He Speaks With His Eyes and Sighs" by Call Up. Now, I thought that's a gentleman. I think it is.
No, it's a woman.
Sure. Is it? Oh.
Yeah, she's a woman.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, Naomi, would you like to read this one? I can't. Would you? I'm sorry, Naomi. Did you hear me, love?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to ask me to read a feminine voice.
Okay,
there,
hold on. We got another caller. Caller 503, who are we speaking with? Hello?
This is Emmy again. I came from...
Hi, Emmy. Well, you know what? We love having
you.
You. And welcome back.
She's a feminine voice.
Naomi,
she could read the poem.
Yes. Naomi, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
So go ahead, Weaver. Go ahead, Weaver. Find whoever you want to.
Okay. Naomi, would you care to read this one, please?
Wait, did you want me to read it?
I was actually... Naomi doesn't seem to be hearing me. Yes, if you'd like to read it, that would be great.
I'm in a coughing spell, Kate.
Oh, my darling.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry, sweetheart.
Oh, dear. Oh, nothing worse. Okay, Emmy, if you'd like to read this, that would be lovely.
Okay, let me pull it up really quick. I just joined back. So this is the one by Cola, right?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Okay, so this is "He Speaks With His Eyes and Sighs." In the crook of your silence, I'd like place my cheek, slip into you like a customized glove, hand-tailored, hand-stitched. Knowing me better than myself, you'd swathe me in a silk kimono, punching me by the waist, holding together like a bouquet of tulips. Tuck me in a vase of bohemian crystal and place me on the pedestal of your regard, where you utter your love with fingertips, lips, and your endless sigh that breathing down my neck. End poem.
That was beautifully read, Emmy. You did such a beautiful job in reading Colette's poem. I even like her title, He Speaks With His Eyes and Sighs. You know, I love that imagery there, and especially that's where it says, knowing better than myself, you'd swathe me in a silk kimono, bunching me at the waist, holding together like a bouquet of tulips. You could just see all of this, you know, the care, you know, sometimes our lover will know us better than we know ourselves, what we're thinking. And when they do something like this, such an act of kindness, how could you not fall more in love with them? This was just gorgeous, Colette. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
I agree with you. Yes, this is, wouldn't you like to be swathed in a silk kimono? I would definitely. But I would also like to be tucked into a vase of bohemian silk. That's me, bohemian silk. None of your old ceramic rubbish. I love none of that. I want to glitter. Yes, they placed me on the pedestal of your regard. That was lovely. I thought that was just a beautiful stanza. But as usual, the last one is the one that gets you, isn't it? The last one is the ace up the sleeve, where you utter your love with fingertips, lips, and your endless sigh breathing down my neck. Oh, lovely. And you read it beautifully too, Emmy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And beautiful comment, Katie. And what did you think, Gray?
Yeah, I enjoyed the read, Emmy. And I like the poem.
Thank you, Gray. I'm not going to make you talk anymore. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
An exquisite poem. Beautiful, delightful. I like that whole notion of a silk kimono. I think that it's a very beautiful, you know, the garments itself are beautiful. And I like the metaphors of the bohemian crystals. In the last line, this last stanza was beautiful as well. This was a very, very, you know, it's not a lengthy poem, and it had beautiful metaphors throughout the poem. I like the title there. It speaks of eyes and sighs. It's an intimate thing. She's talking about intimacy here, and sometimes intimacy, you don't need the words. The actions speak with the eyes, and at times of the sighs.
Yes, agreed. You know, they were talking about how sometimes some men don't always verbally express their love, but they can express their love in the way that they treat you. So sometimes love is wordless, it's actions, and I totally agree with your comment, Frank. Excellent comment. And what did you think about the poem, Naomi?
And did she draw?
Do you hear
okay,
me?
She, no.
Oh, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hear me?
There,
okay.
Yes, we can hear you
now. Yeah, I couldn't get off mute for some reason. Yeah, this poem is, you know, one stanza. There's not one stanza after the other is just, you know, so rich in metaphors throughout. You know, there's not one stanza that's more beautiful than the next. And, you know, right from the beginning, you know, to slip into you like a customized glove, hand-tailored, hand-stitched, you know, right from the beginning, she leads us on this, you know, this journey of love and you know, some appreciation and adoration. And it's just enchanting all the way through. So, wow, beautiful job here, Colette. You know, amazing,
yeah,
amazing, right?
She does write beautiful poetry. And you read the poem, Emmy. What did you think of?
I could really sense from the beginning there was this great sense of familiarity with one another, and that to me really sort of spoke volumes, if that makes sense. Sort of like oftentimes the process of love in that way is actually learning each other, and that was
yes.
really well expressed, that deep sense of connection, if that makes sense. Yeah, it was very sensual, right? And right from the beginning, so no odd twists or turns, and yeah, it was enjoyable reading it too.
Agreed.
But.
And you did a beautiful job reading it. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Emmy. And we're back to Katie.
Okay, and we have Passion Drive by Master Haggard. And Frank, would you read this, please?
Did you call me Laurent there? But
not at all, good heavens. You must be hearing things as if I would
okay.
do that.
Oh,
sorry.
I didn't know. You know, if you confused my voice with him there. But anyway,
no.
This is a
Oh, dear.
This is a poem by Master Packard. It's called Passion Drive, and it goes like this. Held curtains for demons inside my hide, through tassels and hassles, and farewell. Alone and wandering away from home, these secrets for regret sworn nigh to tell. My elusive thoughts something swelled, although I continued to skip emotional bail. It was just a phase I lied under my head. It never once grazed, life shakes the dead. Here, swallow away somber solitude, there was never a glimmer of hope. Oh, how delicately the sand changed when time embraces the winds again. The day came where strife had left my life. Along came this sweet and sour short delight. She torched through my castle protection, dark, taken flight, wrought with passion, lust had splintered. My wounds, places where your light entered. You came, saved the beggar. Your hands, tools of yesterday. Your heart, darkened shaped by light. Touch my artery with your ecstasy. Held me inside your shrouded pain. I came from the grave for further. Our healing savors, our remains in the poem.
You did a fabulous job of reading Master Haggard's poem, Frank, and he was our gold medal winner. There's so much beautiful imagery in here. I really liked was where he expressed the day came where strife had left my life. Along came the sweet and sour short delight. She torched through my castle protection, dark and eternal night of life taken flight. Wrought with passion, lust had splintered my wounds, places where your light entered. You came, saved the beggar. Your hands, tools of yesterday. Your heart, darker shade by light. You know, I loved, you know, how, you know, sometimes we have this wall, and especially men sometimes, they build this wall as protection from rejection, from continuing to be hurt, and for somebody to be able to pierce that castle wall of protection and make this person feel alive again. Seeing how the wounds that he has suffered before, by not adding to them, but by putting a salve of love on there. You know, and love is patient and it's kind and it's long-suffering. And I really liked where, you know, we always want to be loved, but we don't beg. but she came. You know, to me, love the tools of yesterday, the way love used to be in the old, it is so different now. Everybody just, they just move on. Like a candy bar, let me try this candy bar. There's no really enjoying the savor, the taste, the flavors. And then, you know, everybody has darkness, but sometimes that darkness is a light that pierces through the walls that you have had up. And I just thought this was wonderfully penned. I enjoyed it very much. And I really enjoyed your read, Frank. What did you think, Katie?
I thought Frank read that incredibly well. And thank you very much for that. But, I mean, can you imagine? I know exactly what you mean about love. Love comes too, or lust comes too easily now. It's, as you say, it's a pick and mix. I'll have a little bit of that and a little bit of this. Not the best way to live your life, I don't think, because being loved by somebody and caring for somebody is the most amazing feeling in the world, and it matters a great deal. So I thought this was beautiful, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Annie?
Yeah, I was actually kind of stuck on the very last line. It just sort of sat with me, and it almost seemed like, in a way, there's a sense of recovery, and savors or remains. So like recovery, but within this notion of like a dead self, perhaps, right? Where oftentimes healing, that process is sort of about accepting that other part of yourself and cherishing it, maybe. Although, of course, the language is very different from that interpretation. So, yeah, it was a very interesting read for sure. Some of these lines are just so thought provoking.
Great. And great, wonderful comment, Emmy. And how about you, Gray?
Yeah, you did a fantastic read on that, Frank. But I like the poem. You know, it speaks to the walls that we as men build, and you know, when somebody can burn down those walls and come on in, you know, it's a life changer. My wounds, places where your light entered. And then our healing savors our remains. Yeah, just haunting poem.
Great. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Frank?
I thought it was a very visceral poem. You know, there's so much said in this poem. You know, it talks about, you know, just the reflection of what his thoughts are, what his life is, and just what he values there, too. You know, we all go through phases in life, and sometimes the phases we go, the lessons to be learned. You know, my old man is just where you learn the lessons either the easy. But I thought this poem, you know, really talked about, you know, a phase of life as well, in which the poet was very much submerged into. And I like that last line there, I came from the grave for fervor, healing savors I remained. There's a bit of, I would say it's cathartic a bit, but it has a sense of understanding as the poet relates it to us. So it has a Gothic. I was reading below as well. It's a prompt inspired by a Gothic love song. I don't know the love song, but it does have a Gothic feeling too, as well. You know, darkness there. Fantastic.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And Naomi, what did you think of Master Haggard's poem?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, this has an amazing flow and rhythm to it. You know, it's a very enchanting write. But, you know, I'm amazed at how he He took all the darkness, because there is darkness in this poem, and, you know, juxtapose it against the light that filters in and conquers all, you know, so that makes it, it's a very, very, like Frank said, very visceral poem, very, very, you know, thought-provoking and relatable, I think, to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, amazing, amazing right here, and well-deserved gold.
Well, I was just thinking about everybody's comments, and, you know, sometimes, like Naomi, that you brought out, sometimes the darkness we feel helps us to understand the darkness another one feels, because we can put our palm in their heart, because we understand where they're coming from, and sometimes that is what actually illuminates. Yeah, that is a good, good point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Naomi.
Negative.
Thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm. And we are ready for our next poem.
Well, I'm a little bit surprised to see my poem here, because I don't remember putting one in. So that's a bit odd.
You did. No.
Well, did I? Anyway, we have. I must be. I'm so old. I forget everything. I have A Gift of Healing by Blue Raven. It's not coming. Bear with me a second. I keep.
Okay.
Oh, I see it.
You see it?
Yeah, Blue Raven.
It's not moving.
Yeah,
do you?
Yeah,
it's not moving on my screen. Oh, now it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you
so,
sure? But Katie, aren't you going to play yours first?
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
I wasn't actually.
No, you should.
Well, okay.
But we want to hear it.
Thank you. Okay, well, there it is. It's got a SoundCloud.
All right.
Jekyll
okay.
and Hyde
Gray.
By Weaver of Dreams.
And we've, Gray?
Yep, I'm on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gray.
You bet. Here we go.
I'm still here. Why? I have no answer. Cruel, cold, his disdain for me is palpable. Mr. Hyde is an animal, brutal, barbaric, but when I feel his touch, rough palms rasping over my soft skin, I succumb to the pleasure and passion he ignites. Then come the slaps, scratches, and bruises. The coin flips, and Dr. Jekyll appears. Sweet, loving, he brings me flowers and tends to my injuries with tears in his eyes. When with Hyde, I want Jekyll's gentleness. In Jekyll's arms, I long for a fierce passion. My answer to that initial question, Hyde's cuts are healed by Jekyll's sweetness, by the light shining from within him. It seems I cannot leave either one.
I want to thank you for entering the contest, and you were our bronze winner and the Rummy quote. I thought this was just fantastic. I really loved how you brought out the dual personalities that some people have. And, you know, right there at the end where you said, cuts are healed, but Jekyll's sweetness by the light shining from within him. You know, you bring out how you loved. And, you know, I've actually known people like this, men like this, where they will bring you flowers and they will hold you and tell you all the loving, sweet, and the things you want to hear. But at the same time, you want that spark, that fire that burns. It's the craving that you have for the passion that somebody has for you. And I thought that you brought that out fantastic. Your imagery was just wonderful. I was really thought this was extremely clever. That's why I like it, because it wasn't something that I was expecting, and you caught me off guard, and that's what I found such delight in this poem. What did you think about the poem, Emmy?
Yeah, this is a very interesting take on the Dr. Mm-hmm. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde story, for sure. I was going to say I too enjoy it when people are, well, I guess partners in this case are mean to me, if that makes sense. But that out of the way, I do feel like, in a way, I almost don't know what to make out of this, if that makes sense. Because on one end, it seems like it is enjoyable, but on the other end, it seems like it's really not, and actually quite terrifying and painful. And so I guess that's part of the magic of the poem.
Mm-hmm. Good take on the poem, Emmy. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
I've never seen the take on Dr. Jekyll and Hyde from that perspective, so that was pretty unique and enjoyable for sure.
Yep.
I loved hearing this read on air again. And but, you know, I thought it was a brilliant take on the storyline. And then Weaver commented back, "I'm pleased you like it. Where the idea came from, I cannot say, but I am now seriously worried for my sanity."
It's the lack of sleep, I tell you. The lack of sleep.
It's the lack of something. Thanks, darling.
And Frank, what did you think of this thought-provoking poem?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be sleeping tonight there, Weaver. I'm wondering where Jekyll's going to come over. Just to say, but you did a fantastic job of offering your version here, you know, unique as it is, on Dr. Jekyll and his ride. But I think that there's something to this poem here that also is reflective of men in this regard. And as women, we each have a good and evil. I do believe, I strongly believe we possess either of those traits. And I think that at times we don't realize that what others perceive of us. And sometimes, you know, we show one side more or less. But I do believe that you really caught me here with that introspective thought there. So you did a fantastic job with this piece here. It was a great song, Claude.
Thank you.
Well, Frank, I really got to say something. You just wrote a poem about dominatrix. Couldn't that kind of be that sometimes you want love to be soft, and then other times you want it to be aggressive. You know, sometimes you just want that animal to come out. And so, you know, I can understand that. And
are we back
I can
to
understand.
The wall again?
and Naomi, I would love to know your thoughts on this.
Thank you, Frank. Yeah. You know, this is so, I find this so relatable. Oh, my gracious. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you are, you, like you said, you do want that tenderness, that loving, those candlelit suppers, you know, those, you know, the person, the guy that'll run you a bath and put up candles and everything. But at the same time, oh, my gracious, you know, you mm-hmm. want that other guy that has that passion and that way of kissing you that just lifts you off your feet, you know, and, you know, this dark passion that overtakes you, you know, and so, yeah, very, very relatable right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wonderfully thought out, Kate, and, you know, and wonderfully written. My gracious, it just flows down the page. It's so captivating. So just amazing, amazing right here.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you.
I agree. See, I'm not the only one that... And?
No, you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, now, see, this is what a lot of men don't think women think like this, but let me tell you, you are wrong. We do think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes even instigate
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. And now, you're not going to believe this. We've been here 2 hours. I can't believe it. It does not feel like that. But you did put up Blue Raven's poem, and go ahead and sign a reader.
Why don't you, Gray, why don't you put one of Gray's poems on?
I don't think
I
he put any in the open. Did he put anything up in the open poetry?
Well, you could find one.
No,
does Benny have a poem?
Are you done?
Gray?
You want to have a poem?
Did you want to put a poem up and we can say Blue Raven for next week?
Okay, sure. Just let me look here.
Well, somebody will sing while you're busy. Who wants to sing?
Yeah, well, come on.
In the rain.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain.
Singing in the rain.
What a beautiful feeling. I'm happy again.
Besame mucho. There you go. Okay. There you go. He's got the poem up already.
Okay.
This is called The Perpetuity of Our Lives. She spread across my desert like an oasis, bringing moisture to lips that longed her kiss. Her sky was a lightning filled, and thunder roared inside my chest as her storm blew in. Her eyes were brighter than the sun as we kissed, lighting the depths of my despair like fireworks. She smiled, and I melted from the core outwards. Her scent carried my soul aloft on spring breezes, like the moon to the moonlight, midnight skyscape. She pierces my entity with shards of her being, encapsulating my heart. My hands cup her face, and the sun shines in the perpetuity of our lives. End poem.
Okay, we have 90 seconds. Gray, I thought that was a beautiful read in your imagery, especially that last couplet where you talked about cupping the face. So, Katie, would you like to make a comment?
Oh, I loved it. She sped across my desert like an oasis. I mean, come on, bringing moisture to lips that longed her kiss. Oh, that's beautiful. I think you wrote that so beautifully, and I would love that kind of thing to be written for me. So well done, beautifully done.
Thank you. Emmy, would you like to make a quick comment? We've got 60 seconds.
Yeah, that was a really, really, really good poem. I love the lightning and the thunder, the sort of spark and the roar. It's rare that people actually describe thunder like that, so that was a wonderful touch, and of course the spring breezes and whatnot, but yeah, it was great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emmy. And Frank, would you like to make a comment?
I thought it was romantic, passionate, and central, and it was well deserved, my friend. Bring your poetry every time so we can hear your poetry as well.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. And Naomi?
Oh, yeah, this is beautiful, Gray, you know. She smiled and I melted from the core outwards. Her scent carried my soul aloft on spring breezes. You know, just so beautiful the way you incorporated nature into this loving poem, you know. Just beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi.
Oh, thank you. What a great show. I enjoyed it so much. The comments, Robbie hanging out in the group, thank you so much. I want to thank Katie and Emmy and Gray Eyes and Frank and Naomi. I love you guys. What a wonderful night spending time with the people I love. Have a fantastic week. And remember, show some love to somebody. People need it. Love you guys. Vessels. And kisses.
Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Okay, Weaver.
I will.
Well,
goodbye, sweetness.
Sometimes the lights are good for looking, Frank. Don't
yeah.
Lights aren't always a bad thing.
I'm not going to blow the
candle
out.
Let's
put it that way. I might blow
the candle. Especially up the wall, no, there? Especially when you're up the wall there.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And join us
thank you
for the Art
me.
Of Sensuality
oh, Emmy.
On
lovely,
Wednesday.
Emmy,
see you guys there. Love you guys.
I have no idea. I have to check
Emmy.
It out. I haven't seen it yet.
Bye, Naomi.
See you.
Bye, sweetness.
Good night, everybody.
Good
love
night,
you guys.
Everyone. Take care.
I'm off to breakfast.
I'm off to bed.
Me too. Good night, everybody. Love
o'clock.
You guys.
Bye.
Back in, everyone.